Their families, and they are still out there doing it today. And we think and we're hoping that they're praying more today than they ever have in their entire lives. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host and messenger here tonight, Dr. Butch Melton, to the Sacred Heart Gospel Hour. And we're having a little, well, this is my daughter. She's having her, CSB. Well, she's had a lot of them, but she had a lot of miscarriages, and she's had a lot of difficulty in carrying children. She had one that was born into us, a little girl that didn't make it but a day. And then she went home with Jesus, and Jesus called her little girl home. And she's been wanting a girl, and now here they are in later in life. And now she is over 7 months now into her term, and it is a little girl. And so her dreams and prayers is coming true for them, and we're hoping that everything's going to be coming out all right with this one. And they're doing everything in their powers that they can to make sure, because she has so much trouble. She was my daughter was a preemie as well when she was born twins. Her brother and her and my wife had trouble with those, and it was a preemie. Like to lost all three of them. I can remember back with that. It's still like it was yesterday. To lose all your children and your wife at one time would be a major. You know, I mean, just losing one child is beyond my comprehension. I haven't had to go through that as of yet. But grandchildren, I have. It's hard enough for that, so I do feel for the. I know how hard it's got to be, devastating for the parents, especially for the mother. You know, and she has a smother deal going on. You know, worrying. She's worried so much about that as well. So they're keeping an eye on her, and from now on she's got to have bed rest. And they're giving her some special treatments and drugs that will help her along for the next 2-3 months. They're hoping for at least 2 more months. I mean, not 3 months, 2 more months. But they're hoping they can get at least one more. the way they said it could be any time from now to any time between now and any time. And it kind of worried her. And then so now when she gets a pain or two, she freaks out, and we do too, and we take her to the hospital, and just to make sure to, you know. So we ask for prayers out there for her and the little girl, and because she's it's kind of like, reminds me of the story of Abraham and Sarah. They wanted a girl so bad, and just like Becky, you know, Becky and I had all boys, and my first wife, I didn't even have a girl. For my first wife, but my first child was a daughter, and Becky, she had all girls, you know. So she said, "Looks like I'm going to have all girls," and she wanted a boy so bad, you know. She wanted a boy and a girl, mine and Becky's firstborn was a girl, Alicia, and she was born, I think she was almost full term, but the next time Becky and I were blessed with child was twins. So, and it was Michael and Michelle, and she finally, and that was back in those days, they couldn't tell whether or not it was going to be both boys or both girls, but they knew we was going to have twins, and I was freaking out. I said, "Man, you know, hey." And I knew that was special. I had a vision and dreams about it, and she was worried. I said, through my dreams and visions, I was told and shown that everything was going to be okay. I told her, I said, "Listen," and the doctor told her and me before they were to go in and then C-section and get it out, because it was like I said, Becky was having a hard time. But anyway, Michelle was buried so deep, and Michael was on top. You know, somehow he had done kicked her till and everything till she was black. And I did have a vision of it. I told her, in my vision, in my dream, I said, "You had a black child." You know, and I lied. I thought, "It's got to be a dream. It's got to be a dream, because it can't be true." You know, because. You know, that just doesn't make sense. And lo and behold, when she, the doctor came out there and he says, "You gonna," he said, don't let the appearance of her frighten you." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, she's black and blue from the her brother kicking her and everything." And it, she was tangled up in Becky's rib and pelvis. They had to go in and actually had to manipulate to get her out. And this is when Becky lost so much blood. She didn't have any blood hardly. And they came out and told me that neither one of them maybe not going to make it. So they fought hard, and I prayed, and I told the Lord, I said, you know, and I didn't lose faith at all. I told them, I said, "You go back in there. She's going to be all right. The babies are going to be all right." And they said, "Well, you know, I think they got kind of mad at me, you know, like I didn't really, you know, maybe I was, the way I said it or something, it sounded like to them like I didn't care." No, I just told them, I said, "No, I know something y'all don't know. You just go back in there and do your job." I said, "The Lord is with you." I said, He's there. The angel of the Lord is there. He's their one. Jesus is there, and they're going to be okay. Trust me on that." I said, "Y'all are worrying." I said, "But I am not." And they said, "You should be." I said, "No." He said, "No, I'm a doctor, and I go by the laws of science, and I'm telling you." I said, "But I'm telling you, go back in there. Everything's going to be okay." And they came back, and they said, "Well, so far, everything's fine, except they got to be, the baby's got to be put in incubators for several weeks, maybe a month, because their lungs and liver hadn't fully developed, but their lungs were a miracle that they were breathing." And I said, "Well, you know, what did I tell you?" And I said, they're going to make it, because I've been it." And then that's when I had to tell them, explain to them my vision, and it wasn't a dream. It was a real vision from God. And that's when I knew then that I was experiencing real, absolutely real visions from God. And then when I come up with these visions, I come and tell people that, hey, this is a vision. It's true. It's going to happen, you know. And that's the reason a lot of times I'll have a hard time explaining to people, because people don't really realize. And there's not really words in human language that you could actually put to it. You know, like the colors and then what I see, you know, and it just, there's no words to describe such, because, you know, it goes past beautiful, it goes past immaculate, you know, and you're trying to describe the power, you can't do it, you know, the only thing that we can go to show how powerful things is that it was more powerful than an atom bomb. And even using that term is not enough. You can just imagine the power that God has when He created everything there is, you know, in just a moments of time, you know, with a spoken word. Everything that we know in the universe came into existence. So I put my faith into that kind of power. And I said, there's no power that we know of here on earth that can beat that power, that can override that power. He is who He is. He is the great I am. And so I haven't had a dream about this. I've had some visions. I haven't, I've been told to hold off on those visions. I've got to wait. I've got to wait. I don't come out and tell everybody until I am instructed to. I believe that when you're given a vision, I believe it's a one-on-one personal experience relationship with your Father in heaven. And unless you are otherwise instructed, I believe for you and each individual to keep it to yourself, unless you are otherwise directed. If you look in the Bible, the prophets were directly told to go and tell what they had seen and what they experienced. They were told to. Otherwise, they would never said a word about it, okay? And that's the way it should be. But we've got people now, the evangelists and Baptists, they can't wait to get, they rub their eyes and they can't wait to get on the computer, or they can't wait to get on their cell phone text. They can't wait to get on YouTube and make a movie about it. Hey, look at you, look at you. You know, and then God says, okay, well, then I trusted you with a vision of the future. But now, you know, you're dealing with me. I am the great I am, and I am your God, your Father. I can change this vision. And God, you know, it's not written in stone. God can change that vision. He said, well, I was going to let this happen occur, but now since you went out and blabbed about it, I'm going to change it. And he does. He changes it, you see. But I was told in my vision to tell. He said, you tell everyone, you know, and I know it was Jesus, because that's the only person it could have been, that came down on the light, the beam of light to the ground, and everything was perfectly dark. And there was only two lights. There's one on Becky and one on Jesus. And it was like I was in a spectator. I was out in the darkness and where I probably should be. And at that time, I wasn't into talking to the Lord as much as I should have. And but I know that I do. Even back then, I talked to him more than most quote-unquote plastic Christians do today. You know, there was very, very seldom a day that didn't go by that I didn't, you know, go out into nature, outside into nature, the very things that he created, and be with him and walk with him and talk with him. You know, even when at times I was struggling to get out of my sinful ways, and I was full-blown alcoholic and really, really bad, and he cured me of, I mean, just miracle. That he took the urge of alcohol completely away from me, and I told him, I said, I know that it's a sign, it's a miracle from you, because I can sit down, ladies and gentlemen, sit down and drink one beer, and that's it. I don't drink another. I can do that. You know, people say, oh well, it's just a matter of time. He'll be right back at it again. No, it won't. This is different. This is a whole lot different because I've tried it out. I sat down and had a beer with, you know, just to be socializing with somebody. They said, come on, just have one beer. I said, well, that's fine. I'll just have one with you. Okay. And it may take me an hour to drink that one or whatever, 30. I can down it really quick and move on. And it's still, I don't have that urge to drink another one. I do not have an urge to go on any further. Now, when I was drinking that one, just like turning the key on a car, would just get me started. Okay, so it was a transformation, and that's what we're going to be talking about here, is a transformation of things, an order of things in the universe. And transformation was not just made for myself and others out there that's been touched by miracles. It's been made, the word transformation was given to mankind at the very beginning of Adam and Eve. Okay, I want you to understand that. A lot of people says, no, the transformation of humanity and religion didn't happen until this time, or didn't happen until Noah, or it didn't happen until Jesus arrived on the scene. And I said, no, it happened the moment God created the first human being, which was Adam. The transformation began right there at that moment, in that instance. God gave unto man the will, his will, that he can transform not only himself but others, and also he can transform the planet Earth. That's why he said, if you have faith, you can move mountains. That's what he was telling you. You can transform if you have the faith. You know, just like, you know, like I had the faith. I never lost, you know, I mean, from days to days, I just told God, I prayed. I said, get me off this stuff. I can't do it. And it came to the time that, the early morning hours, that I had a gun in my mouth, fixed to say, well, this is it. I've had enough. I know now that all my prayers went up in smoke, and I know that God wasn't, he doesn't love me, he doesn't listen to me. And it's not his fault, it's mine. It's my fault because I'm being punished for it. That's the reason that I'm an alcoholic, is I've done something so horrible, bad that I've been punished for it, and I knew that's what it was. And there's always a reason behind everything, and I knew that, you know, And everybody else has to come to those terms as well. Everything happens for a reason. Where it's good or bad, it happens for a reason. And down the road, you'll see why he allowed it to happen. And everybody that gets killed in a car wreck, you send little children, they say, God, how can this be? Why? And you'll see the reason down the road. You know, and just like Jesus said, you may not even see it in this life. You'll see it when you are resurrected, when you're brought forth to heaven in the judgment seat. You'll see why that child was taken at that time. Why was that child be allowed to be raped and killed? Well, you'll find the reason out at the judgment seat. As soon as you're resurrected, Jesus made this promise. He said, when you're resurrected, you will know all things. All things will be known unto you and to all. Good or bad, everybody will know why. Because then that way, when you will be judged, you'll know it's a perfect judgment. So that's the reason I'm doing this segment tonight, is because the perfect judgment, ladies and gentlemen, cannot be perfect without first transformation. Whether it's transforming into good or to bad, it doesn't matter. And you cannot be in between. This is what Jesus came into. Jesus came into this subject of, he said, if you're hotter, you can be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And it's like I've been studying, you know, I'm the great thinker, out of the box thinker, which also Jesus does. He doesn't say it out of the box, but he does reference it all throughout his works, his mighty words. He references men and women to think outside the box, think for themselves, and meditate and dwell on what the problem is, and it will come to you in the spiritual, holy spiritual form. The answer will be given to you if you have a personal relationship with God. If you don't have a personal relationship, there's no way that you can ever think outside the box. There's no way. Because you see, you don't have enough time for God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Only time that you have is for the world. Your job, what you love, to your hobby, go play in golf. Like we got the president, he's a golf player. You know, his quote unquote main transformation that he really wanted to be, it wasn't a basketball player, it wasn't a football player, but it was a quote unquote golfer. He wanted to be the Tiger Woods. I guarantee you, he may look like he admires Tiger Woods, but I guarantee you down deep inside of him, he just chews his tongue and grits his teeth every time that he sees. He says, that should be me. That should be me. And he does this. What he's doing today is he's trying to prove to everybody, hey, look, I could have been Tiger Woods. Y'all just, instead, look, I made president. And instead of him being satisfied with being the most powerful person on this earth, no, he would probably swap it really quick right now if he could be the next Tiger Woods, the next Black Tiger Woods. He would do it just like that, I guarantee you would. Because he doesn't enjoy his job, because he's not doing it right. And that's a transformation. And that's another thing I'm going to be talking about right here. We're about 20 minutes into this little chat. This one is going now. I know I've been taking you to and fro all throughout the spectrum of the end times, and you've got to know the players, and you really do. And I've done brought the Pope and Obama, and those are the two main players as of right now. And we have in the backfield that I have been told about, the people that I know and I trust 100%, that they did see, they have seen in the flesh, bin Laden. So if this is true, this would match up, this would be in the Bible. The beast received a major critical a wound to the head, life-threatening, which killed the beast. In Revelation, it said he took a death wound to the head, but yet he lived. But yet he lives. It had an S on it. But yet he lives. Now, whether or not, ladies and gentlemen, this is a physical form of my Red Dog agents that they saw and talked to him, that it was physical reality. It could have been like, you know, when you meet up with an angel or when you meet up with a demon. It flesh and bone. Touch them and they're real, and but in reality they're not on this world at all. They just come and go Okay, they come and go. They in the fleet of a month. That this is what this is. This is why nobody else says. Well, how come everybody else hasn't seen it? It's like when Jesus was popping in and out. You know, he was appearing to this disciple, that disciple. He was going 1,000 miles after he talked to Thomas, 1,000 miles in the island of Crete. He popped up there within a second. He said, "How can this be possible? There's no way he could be talking to Thomas." And then a second later, he's up. He's on the island of Crete, but thousands of people saw him on Crete because he stood there and talked to 1,000 people. You know, so how can this be? How can there must be two of them? I said, well, that's possible because he is God. He can do anything he wants to do. But what happened was he as soon as he disappeared from Thomas, he appeared immediately, one millionth of a second, he appeared in Crete. And I mean, hey, this is possible. You know, is that possible? What did God say? Jesus said, all things with my Father is possible. All things are possible. So when you think in your mind that it's never possible, it is with God. It can be. It can be possible with God. And it's like he said, you can move mountains. And but he wasn't referring to you pointing at it, and then all of a sudden you can move it, you know, over to this 50 miles over here. What he meant was you could transform this mountain. You could take it down with your heavy equipment, your dynamite, and blow it. And it may take you 10, 20 years. But you will level that mountain down, and you will escort all that rock and dirt and put it up over yonder, and then what have you done? You have moved that mountain, have you not? Yes, you have. So that is a transformation. This is what the theme is here tonight. It's transformation, and it's really, the word's powerful because it's for good and bad, and there's no in-between, okay? There's no in-between transformation. In other words, you just can't start transforming and then stop, and then go back to where you began, or you go forward. You can't do it. That's why Jesus referred to lukewarm. You cannot transform into lukewarmness. That's when he'll spew. That's when the whole world has, you know, says there's something wrong with these with these people. They're not fully transformed. They're not fully developed. And that's why I say that they're lukewarmers. These are plastic Christians. This is what I mean by fence riding plastic Christians. They look and peer to your eye, to my eye, that they're holy, righteous people, and they are going to church and doing everything they can. They join the, oh, if there's something going on in the church, they're first ones to sign up for it, or they'll volunteer for this, or you move over, nobody's doing this but me, you know, and it's all about them. These are the plastic Christians, because everything they do and say inside of those four walls in the church is to be seen and heard of by men and their comrades, and to be patted on the back, and to be talked about really, really great around the neighborhood, to be known as a great man or woman, and that's all they're there for. They're not there for God. They're not there for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are there for themselves, and therefore they're plastic. They're plastic. They have not been transformed either way. They're right in the middle, and what did Jesus say? I'll spew you out of my mouth. And if you'll step back and really sit down and close your eyes and think about it, you'll know why Jesus said that. It's because if you're there in the middle, how can you be? You cannot serve two masters. He said that. You cannot serve two masters and do it right and do it correctly. And he said there'll be no master except one, that is your Father in heaven. And you cannot serve two. So when you transform, you've got to transform to the Father and stay there. You got to transform to the righteous way that everybody that goes to church, that's what they're trying to do. And as soon as they get that water thrown upon them, or dunked under the water, or tucked out to the river and held down under the water, this transformation, they call it, of baptism takes place. And then after that, after they dunk this person into the water and drag them out, they have been, quote-unquote, transformed into a super religious holy person. Wrong. Wrong. Because if that would happen, they wouldn't be in no need for judgment now, would they? Because if everybody goes gets dunked in the water, and all the holy hands and preachers and all the sacred people, the deacons and the elders of the church, and all the papers that they can sign stating that you are now in possession of this paper, you are now allowed into heaven by the holy men of this said church, you are now going. There's no way. God cannot stop it. God cannot stop it. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I got a little news for you, brothers and sisters. That paper ain't worth the paper it's written on. When those papers are written out and signed, and then they hand it to you and say, now there is your salvation, God's laughing at everything that's going on. He's laughing. It's just like with him watching the Comedy Channel, probably a lot worse. He's having a good old time, you know, because you have not transformed into a being of light, into a being of light of truth, you know. And as soon as these people get this Dunkin', I call them the super Dunkin' donut of Christianity, you know, you go, pow, that's it, that's all now, and I can do anything I want to do. But they actually still know that they can go out and backslide. They know about that. They've read about it in the God's word about backsliding. You could be saved and then backslide. You can be put in the water and dunked underwater, sprinkled, and with all the holy. You know, the Pope can even touch you and proclaim that you are now righteous and holy. But then you can backslide, and then you're not again. You know, so how can this be? How can you? Once saved, always saved. So that's not true. Once saved, always saved is not true. Anybody, the great falling away, the Bible talks about, the great falling away means you lose your faith. Once you lose your faith, you have lost your salvation. You lost your salvation if you don't keep your faith. Your faith is the one number one thing that Jesus always talked about. He said he always talked about keeping your faith. Always remember, keep your faith in. He said, even though times are going to get hard, and if you admit that you know me, if you admit with your mouth you know me, you are going to die. He said, but you got to keep the faith that what I'm telling you is the truth. Because as soon as you die and they kill you because of me, he said, you will be given a robe of pure white linen and crown of gold that no man can even imagine what purity of that gold is, far more than the gold that we have today. Okay. God's gold, far surpasses the gold that we have. All we think, we make some beautiful gold here, but we don't make it to start with. What we dig up out of the ground on this earth, God created in the bellies of the suns. And if that is so, then it's only a percentage. There's only a percentage, and there's no such thing as pure gold. They even tell you that. And when they put up that 99.99999%, it's not even that close. It's not that close. There's about one or two. Sometimes it's about like 10% impurities in that gold. You see, there's no what you call quote unquote pure gold. Now the gold that they put on the ark of the covenant was from God. He gave that gold. The gold was made by God in heaven, not on this planet, and it was brought to a man to lay down and to layer upon the Ark of the Covenant. That's why the Ark of the Covenant has so much power. That's why all these people that are so power hungry wants to get their hands on this Ark of the Covenant. Whoever has their hands on the Ark of the Covenant rules the world. Understand that. They know that. That's the reason the Illuminati, all these other people that you're talking about, the feds, every country, every leader, every president, every dictator, everybody has been spending billions, if not trillions of dollars to give people, hey, go out and find the Ark. Please bring it back to me. Because they got to have their hands on it. That's because that would be the end of the transformation. Whoever has in possession of the Ark of the Covenant, it would put an end to their transformation would be over. Because they will use that Ark of the Covenant to transform then the whole entire planet. This transformation that we'll be talking about here just shortly. The transformation, I'm going to give you the step-by-step how it plays out and who the players are. I told you that the end times, I'm going to tell you, you cannot know the end times unless you know the players and the systems. Okay, the systems, and this is mainly the systems of the earth today. And of yesteryear, it was set up the same way, but it's backwards today. It's backwards today. Just remember that. Keep that in mind when I start this off. Then you'll know that it's backwards. It's anti-transformation. It's the anti-transformation. God gave unto us in the time of Adam the real transformation that what we could, if we apply ourselves, what we can turn into the new person. We can transform into this new person. Let's go ahead and sit back and get that phone. All right, now she's got it. I think, I don't know if she can cut it off or not. Anyway, anyhow, ladies, I'm sorry about that. But we'll be talking about this transformation that everybody, you and I, and all the children that's to be born or has been born is going to have the will to do. It's, you take your will, and you can take your will and transform into anything that you, your heart desires, okay? You know, it's the old preamble, you know, whatever your heart and mind thinks you will become. Not always, but that's, you know, that's the main statement, you know. Okay. But anyway, let me go ahead and raise and tell you at the beginning, and you got to think outside the box once again. Okay, if you are of the Spirit, if you are of the Holy Spirit, you will understand what I'm talking about. You will get it just like that. If you are of the Father and the Father is in you, you will know what I'm talking about here. And if you do not know, if you do not get it, then you have not transformed the transformation to you to a righteous and faithful person or a truthful person, an honest person, has not been completed yet. You know, you have not made it. So pay particular attention here because, you know, you should get it right off the bat. But this probably be the first time you've ever heard this because you don't hear this in church. No. That's why I started this program is because I'm going to tell you things that church will not do. They will not touch it. They have the dark side. Every church, I don't care where you go. I don't care how many people tell me, oh, their church is the right church. The God's all in their church. This is it. Come, Butch, to this one. Come on, Butch, come to this one because this one's the best. This one, God's got his hands all over. And I'm standing there going, yeah, right. Because I guarantee you I can walk in there in 5 minutes, I can probably point out 100 things that I can tell you is wrong. And here, especially here and see, if I, in 5 minutes I'm out of there. I'm gone. Because I'll tell them, I said, hey, if I hear and see things that I don't think that in my mind that I know by the word of my living Lord that's alive right now. He died, but he's alive right now, and he's going to return. And I said, now, I'm going by what he said, that his gospel, his truth, will set me free and will set you free too if you just only listen. If you transform to the reality, the real deal, I always tell you people about, the real deal religion, and it's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's all. That's it. There is nothing else besides that. There's nothing else besides Jesus, the Lord Christ. Anything else that you spray and pack into that is false. Okay. That's what Christ said. He said, if it's anything beyond me or anything else not pertaining to God that I didn't give you, tell you here, it's not of me. And Jesus didn't tell these churches and these religions to do what they're doing. No, he did not. I know they're going to stand there and tell him, well, yeah, but he did. He did. No, he didn't. Just because it happened to him, somebody done it unto him, and just because he done it one time didn't mean you have to do it every single time, every day or every week, you know. I said, you're doing something. It's probably a mockery to him. You're mocking him. Just think about it. So this great transformation, ladies and gentlemen, was set up at the foundations of the earth. It was set up even before man was created. God always had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Always had. They were there. The three are one. The one is three. They were there. That's why it was said, let us create man in our image. It was the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the three, the triad. That's why it said us. At that particular moment, they were three. And remember when I said, people say that's impossible. No, it's not, because we're talking about God here. Can God be three people at once? Yes. Now, once you get that, then you'll get over these people telling you this is impossible. This can't happen. Can God be more than one entity and be the same entity at the same time? Yes. Okay. And I want you to understand that. And you got to understand that because of this transformation. Because that's what he does. He transforms what Jesus did when he walked out of the tomb. He was transformed into something that was in between a living earthly human being and a heavenly body. That's why Jesus said, "Do not touch me." He told Mary, he said, "Do not touch me, for I have not went to my Father and got my glorified body." The body that she was looking at right then and there was not fully transformed. Okay? So he said, "Don't touch me." We don't know why. We don't know if it would have contaminated him or would have killed her. We don't know. It may have killed her. That's what I'm believing. It would have killed her if she would have touched him because of the awesome power of him, God coming, returning back that body to a physical form and to walk and talk was a lot of power there and to do all other things that he was doing, to walk through walls and disappear and go 1,000 miles within a millionth of a second. All that power was bundled up in that package. And then it wasn't transformed enough to where it'd be a heavenly body, to where it would be controlled and to where people could actually touch him. And when he went to his Father and came back, that's when the disciples was able to touch him. That's when Thomas put his hand into his side, put his fingers into the nail holes. Okay. Then the doubting Thomas believed. And then he said, Thomas was doubtful of Jesus Christ all along. His faith was not solid until he saw Christ. He knew he was dead. He saw him dead. And he put his hand into the side of Jesus. How can this be? And he put his fingers through the holes in his hands and feet. And then Thomas was one of the best after that. He had the best faith that you it was unshakable. And he was glad to die, put his life on the line. He said, "I know I'm going to die a horrible death. I know I'm going to," he said, every apostle is going to die a horrible death. But they had when they said that, they had a smile upon their faces. They were glad to do it. Because I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to end up. I know where I'm going. But see, the people of the day don't know that. They claim they know. They claim that it's, we're going to heaven. But when you get them right there on the edge of them, when that doctor walks out and says, you got about 8 minutes to live, or somebody standing there with an axe and going to cut your head off, there's the time to find out if you have transformed fully or not, to see if you'll still have that smile on your face, or will it be wiped off your face. And sadly to say, about 8 out of every 10, the smile is wiped off instantly off their face, and they deformation sets in. They go back to the way they were. And everybody said, "Well, they'll probably jump in and be totally, no, because they're going to accept. They're going to sell their soul to the devil to continue on living." Because remember when Jesus said, if you love your life, you'll lose it. He wasn't only talking about your physical life, but he's talking about the hereafter life. He's talking about you're going to be thrown. He said, when you do that, when you throw me away, and then just so you can continue on living here on this earth, because you are more of the earth, that proves to me then the earth is your master. You're serving the earth. You're serving the world. You're serving another master. You're not serving me. You're loving the world. You're not loving me. You're loving the world. You're loving your job. You're loving everything. You're loving to get all the gold and silver you can. You love to be bragged about. Your ego trip, your vanity. You love to put on those fancy clothes and rings and diamonds and everything and do whatever you can to stand out in the crowd, let everybody point out, "Here they come. Here they come." Okay, so I want you to understand that. The transformation, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about it right now. We're about 45 minutes into this, so I'm going to have to talk about it quick. And once again, I want to thank everybody for coming here tonight, today, this Saturday noontime, because I know that, a lot of people are into the world. They're into the world, and it's hard for them to get out of that world, to get off that television. I know that NASCAR's done started up. I know that is, it seems like every time that that God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit has a little bit of time that they can pull some people in, you know, to get them off the computers, get them off the television, and draw them in to where they can get on radio and listen to God's word, or they can go to an honest church, the truthful church, and hear the word, and just, you know, that what I'd like to see is a church that always, its doors is always open and nobody will bother you. You can walk on in there and sit down and it'd be quiet. It'll be quiet. And that way you can sit there and just be you and the Father, and you can communicate together. That's a relationship. And when you bring in a preacher or a priest or rabbi, whatever you want to call them, and you bring them up, and as soon as they see you, here they come. Oh, there they are. And they go and they light on you like a buzzard, and they go, oh, brother, what can I help you with today? Oh, just tell me all your problems, tell me all your sins, and I'll help you wash all those sins away right here. Well, they can't do it, but they're telling you they can. They're going to tell you that when you walk out that door, if you did not tell your confess all your sins to them right then and there, you still toting them sins with you. Well, you actually aren't until Jesus washes them away at the altar, at the great altar in heaven, where it said John the Patmos said he saw that. The altar. The Holy Spirit will burn away those sins. And it says that, and then Revelation, if you'll listen to God's word, you'll know what I'm saying is true. And that's why you get that opportunity, is because Jesus Christ says you have earned it to go across the river and the fountains of life and go and eat of the tree of life, which you will live forever. But before you do so, you've got to have this burning out away of all of your sins and evilness. And that is done at the Holy Spirit will do that upon the Holy Spirit's altar of God in heaven. Not on this earth, but in heaven. Okay. So you're purified. This is what, you know, everybody said, well, Jesus must have had a sin because he had to go be purified. No, he didn't. He just had to go do something that we're not going to be able, you know, we're not going to be able to do. God, his Father, I mean, he was transformed into something that we're not going to be transformed into. Let me understand that. He was the Messiah. We're not the Messiah. Understand. So let me go ahead and tell you while I'm thinking outside the box right now, our theme, and I call it the recipe of transformation. Okay, it's the recipe, just like you would have a cake or cookie recipe. Okay, it'll make more sense to you that way. And it's four. There's four main ingredients of this transformation. Okay. Now we're talking about everything that we can apply here to the world. You know, and I'm not just talking about your physical body, your self, inner being. Okay. Your psychological being, your mental being. I'm not just going only talking about that. We're talking about every aspect of your life, and whether it be material or spiritual. Whether it be anything that has anything to do with you by the time you're born to the time you die, is that transformation. Understand that? Okay. So number one, and I want you to understand this now. Just listen very closely, and then I'm going to go back through it again. And very, very quickly, and then I'm going to explain it to you. Okay. So number one, this list, this recipe is before man was even, you know, on the earth. It was already designated. This list was already designated. Okay, it was already designated. And but I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you the opposite, because I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. Every single person on this world right now is going by these four steps exactly as I tell them to you right here today. Now, if you are going through your transformation, or if you're going through the transformation, or you have already transformed, then this lineup, these four steps does not apply to you. Because why? I'll tell you that after I tell you the recipe and let you know the ingredients of the recipe, then I'll go back and read it, and then I'll stack it the way it was originally set up by God in the very beginning, in time of Adam. Before Adam, he set this recipe up before he created man for human beings to transform. Okay. And you have used this system to transform what you are today. I want you to understand that. When I read this out, it's going to hit you that, yes, you have used these steps to transform into what you are today. And it's according to what order these are important to you as to how you have transformed. It's in how you have transformed and if you have completed what God wanted you to do. Okay. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, the number one right now today, the recipe of transformation is the way that the people of this world want you to do. In other words, this is not the way God set it up. Okay, this is not the way God wanted it to be. This is opposite. This is the Antichrist delivered upon you. You know, he's always going to do what Jesus did, or he's going to do what God did. You know, but it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be the anti. Right, right. Good. Opposite of good is what? The anti of good is evil. The anti of light is what? Darkness. So the anti of everything that's of God is of what? Satan. Okay, the devil. Evil. So this is evil right here, the way it's got it set up. I want you to understand that right off of number one, thinking outside the box, the thing, the recipe of transformation. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, today, number one is science. Science is number one. Science is your master. Okay. Number two recipe of transformation is the government. The government. It's kind of hard, you know, I just couldn't hardly swallow this at once, but it's true. I thought government would be number one, but no, it's science. It's science because science runs government. As a matter of fact, science today, science runs all things. It runs all things. It doesn't matter what it is. Science is the head of it. Okay. So that's number two is the government, ladies and gentlemen. That kind of freaked me out. I thought government would be number one. And I know that's what they're fighting for, and that's what they are. They truly fight. I guarantee the government eats away at their very soul that science is number one. I guarantee you that. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, number three, the recipe of transformation, is commerce. All right, that's a word, and a lot of people, I don't want you to get confused. Commerce is what? Work, jobs, your job, feeding your family, okay, so to speak. Saving money for college and da 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 da. That's commerce, okay. Agriculture, being a farmer, da 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 da. Being a drug dealer, doesn't matter. That is your commerce. And last, ladies and gentlemen, today, on this world today, last, number four, the recipe of transformation is what? It's religion. Religion is last. Is last. First is look here. First is opposite of religion is first is what? Science. And yes, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to get on this spree. I'm going to have a lot of people come in and say, well, you know, science is provable. Science is provable. We've proved a lot of things with science. I said, yeah, but who created science? It was God. God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit created science before he created the first human being. He had science going on even before the universe was going on. God is science. Science, you know, they say, well, we should worship science. No, that's not what God said. See, science is not a physical entity. Sometimes I know it does to people who serve science. It does. Science has a physical body to them, and trust me, they are married to it. Yes, sir, they are. They are married to science, and they will live and eat and sleep, and they'll die in science. They're not going to die in number four, religion. Number four is religion. Now, what was mankind's recipe, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to ask you this right now. I'm going to try to show you how to think outside the box. Ask yourself this question right here. What was man's recipe back in the time of Adam, Abraham, and Noah? Okay? The same recipe as it was I just mentioned, but it was upside down. It was upside down. So let's look at how God gave us the recipe for our transformation of the human race. And it was back in those days. Number one was religion. And number one was religion. God's word, ladies and gentlemen. Religion is God's word. It's not a building or a system. It's not the Pope. It's not any single individual. It's not a group of people. Religion is God's word, his gospel. And if you think that religion is, it means more to you, that like your congregation, your little church, and the picnics and the three-legged races and the bingo games that you have, right there in the bake sales that you have, you're selling stuff, you're trading stuff right there inside of God's house, and you're going to call that religion, that's okay with me. Go right ahead and call that religion. But it's not. And I'm going to tell you what, God is going to break your heart. He's going to break your heart at the judgment seat. I guarantee you that. Because he's going to ask you, why did you do all this thing in my house? In my name, in my honor, that I wasn't even a part of, I didn't agree to, but you forced me to use my name to gather up all and sell these goods and sell this money. For the benefit, well, yeah, it was a benefit. Oh, yeah, okay, so it did happen to benefit some people, okay? It did help feed somebody, but it's not that fact. The fact is that you used me as a prostitute. You pimped me out. You pimped Christ out in his name to gather up this sale, this money, to gather up this money at this sale. Or at these games, these illegal games. I mean, they're illegal everywhere else, but they're okay in church. They're all right there. They can hold raffles. Hey, you don't even have to go get a license. You can do it. You can do it. Do anything you want to. Turn it into Las Vegas. Oh, yeah. And even in the time of Jesus, they were prostitutes in the temple at that time. They was on the outer courts, but they were allowed to be there to, hey, drag them in to intercept them instead of going, hey, they say, hey, instead of going in there and giving up, come in, take that money and give it to me. And let me tell you something, the elders of this temple and the Holy of Holies were getting a cut out of the action. Okay, I want you to understand this. Behind the scenes, they were getting cut. That's the reason they allowed the prostitutes to be there in the first place. Because the great elders and the deacons and the Holy of Holies could have stopped that from happening, but they didn't. Now, did they? No, they didn't. They were selling pigeons, goats, and God wanted you to bring your own pigeons, your own goats that you raised from the eggs and from the womb. He didn't want you to go out there and just buy something. You might as well just went up there and just throw the gold and silver upon the altar, right? Right. So number one, religion is God's word. It's God's word. Okay, it's your faith. Okay. It's not a solid foundation. And if you are building your salvation upon a solid foundation of a building or a system, then you have not transformed. Understood? You have failed right then and there. You have not even made it past number one. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going to also be involved in consuming you, if it's according how it is, If you're going to do it the right way, this 1 through 4 will not consume you. It will help you. But if you use it in the right and wrong way, if you allow the world to go and grab all of these four phases and have it do evil, then you are doomed. There's evil going on in religion. There's evil going on in commerce. There's evil in government. There's evil in science going on right now. You understand what I'm saying? Number two is commerce. Okay, we done figured that's feeding your family, working hard every day to have the things your family needs to live, right? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But also you're doing what? Commerce, you're trying to cheat, steal, lie on your tax forms, which, you know, that doesn't bother me none because I don't believe that the government should be stealing your money to start with. Yeah. Now, that's stealing is exactly what it's doing. They're taking money, your money away from you without your permission. They're going to do it whether you like it or not. And they're going to do more of it, too. They're trying to figure it out right now. And they just about got about 50% of your check now. But that's commerce. That could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. Which are you? Which are you in? Okay. And I guarantee you I can talk to 99.8 and they're going to say, oh, I'm on the good side of commerce. I'm on the good side of religion. I'm on the good side of science and everything else, the government. Sure you are. Sure you are. Just keep telling yourself that. Now, number three, ladies and gentlemen, number three. Now, this I'm lining it up like God did it. All right, it was religion and commerce. Religion was number one. Religion was supposed to be your master, and religion was what? God and his word. His word is he. He is the word. You cannot serve two masters. So if this is not number one on top of your list, then you have not transformed. And I know I can sit here right here and everybody says, well, that's my number one. If you'd asked me, I'd have said my faith, my religion, my God. Just make sure that you're living it. Just make sure that's 100%. Not just 30% or 20%. I want you, it's got to be 100% all. That's what Jesus said. He said, you cannot serve two masters, and you're going to have to put your all into one. Because if you're trying to split it 50-50, you don't have no master. And you're splitting it 50-50, then that tells me that you are your own master. Yeah. Now, number three, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about the government. The government. Back in their days, I'm talking about their day, I'm talking about Adam and Abraham and Noah. Back in their days, the government was to only protect its people from attacks and from the enemy of the outside forces. And also, you know, there's two evils of the world. There's an unseen evil that's untouchable, that's invisible, and there's the evil like we got ISIS. ISIS is evil. And you can lay your hand, and they can lay their hands on you, and you can lay your hands back on them. But the unseen, like it is the forces of Satan, is unseen, that moves inside of your soul, your body, your heart, your mind, that corrupts you. That's unseen. The government has no control over it, and they can't stand it. They can't stand that. The reason they hate religion is because government don't like religion. That's the reason they're trying to take it out of your life, is because they can't stand for you to have God's word as your master, because the government wants to be your master. Am I correct? Am I right? Yes, you bet. That's why they're trying to take the word Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit out of everything they can, the crosses, anything that reminds anybody of what? God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. That way you can keep, if they can keep your mind away off of that, then they got you. You cannot transform. They don't want you to transform into good. They want you to transform into what they want you to transform into, which turns out to be, by the way, evil. Evil. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's the main force in everything that we say. The government is going to be the main force, the master of everything that we say, that we do, even in our workplaces, even in our farms, our companies, and our family lives. Okay? I won't repeat that when this thing gets through ringing off the wall here. Okay, I'm going to, after this show, I'm going to rip that all out. Oh, man. But anyway, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's just Satan trying to interrupt me here. But ladies and gentlemen, look here. No longer has man control over his own family. You don't. And let me go ahead and repeat what I just said, because it's so important. But right now, I want you to ask yourself right now, is this true? Is this happening right now? Is this happening to your transformation right now? Is this a part of your transformation? Because it's got to be. It's got to be. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, the main force, the main master, is in everything that we say. They're going to control everything the words that you're saying. You've got to be politically correct. You cannot say this word or that word, or you're in trouble. It could put you in prison, or those certain words can have you, they can have you killed because of what you say. And that we do, you know, our actions, what we do, we no longer can do the things we used to do. You know, that song reminds me of, like, to do the things we used to do. You can't no longer do the things you used to do. It's against the law of the government of the land and of commerce. And they just bring it all in and they make a law against it. And then they've got you. They control you. Everything that you say and everything that you do is controlled nowadays. Now you can't even do anything without a drone hovering over you, recording everything, and they're listening in all of your phone conversations, everything you type on your computer, every phone message that you leave, they listen to it before the person that you it was meant for them to hear. They hear it before they do. All right. And in your workplaces, where you go to work, okay? The government's even in that. The government's telling the workplace, they're telling the people who own the companies, hey, you can't do that. You didn't build that. You didn't make that. It's like telling Budweiser, that wasn't your recipe. That's the government's recipe. Without the government, you could have never made that recipe. You could have never made it happen. And that's what they're telling you. That's what Obama's favorite words were. You didn't build that. You didn't make that. You didn't invent that without the government. If you used a road, if you used anything, if you used the internet, he claims that the government owns the internet too as well. And he's also going to do this. He's doing it right now. The government owns religion. Because they're going to tell you what kind of religion that you better pay attention to, and very little of it. And your government is going to be your new religion, is what I was trying to get out of my mouth, and Satan's trying to stop me. So I know I'm on the right track here. You know it is. And when Satan's trying to keep you from saying it, he's trying to keep that which is in your heart coming from the Holy Spirit out into the real world. It's Satan trying to do that. So I know that it's right. Government is trying to be your new religion. They're trying to dismantle. Whether they already have, they dismantled the religion. Your great grandmother and great grandfather would not know the religion, the church. They can get up and go into these Joel Osteen's, Haggerty's, and all that. And they can go to all these churches and they're going to say, "My Lord, what has happened to the system? What has happened to religion?" They'd be astonished, would they not? I think they'd be absolutely terrified of how much the government has their tentacles inside of religion, of the churches. Because they cannot no longer, there's going to come a time, they're working on it right now, that some of these churches has to sin. If they're getting subsidized, they're getting a tax break, the Obama administration, if he doesn't like you, and what you're saying, that he can have you to you have to be forceful to send in your what you're going to tell the people a week before time, and they can okay it. They say, okay, you can say that, it's okay. You can have this sermon, but if there's something in that sermon, they're going to say, take this out, that out, that out. They're going to edit it. In other words, they're going to edit it, and then it's not going to be able to just step away. And they say, now put this in, put that in. Like, oh, Obama is great. Obama is good. And that's coming. It's coming. It's almost there now. I mean, it's not. It's three quarters there. The transformation of God's word, transformation of religion, is already done. Three quarters done. Stick a fork in it. I said already, it's done. That's the reason that the revelation, the prophecy of Revelation of John of Patmos has got to come rolling around. It's got to be true, and it's got to happen because hey. You can't tell me that the end is not here. Religion, God's word, is being destroyed. And you're going to tell me the end is not here? You're going to tell me that the world's going to continue right on? God's going to allow this world to continue right on? He's going to rock this world, going to shake this world's foundation. He's going to hit it with an earthquake that's going to not only shake the world, ladies and gentlemen. He said in the Bible it's going to shake even the heavens, and with an S on it, more than one heaven. It's going to be the sky above. When's the last time you've ever seen an earthquake that hit so strong that shook the clouds? That shook the airplanes that was flying in the clouds. It knocked the birds out of the air. When's the last time you saw an earthquake that powerful? But just think about what God's going to send. He's going to send an earthquake that's going to, it's not going to split the world down the middle, but it's going to split all of these plates, the plates that all these continents in the ocean rides on. And you know that it looks like a cracked eggshell. All those cracks right now is just about sealed up, you know. I mean, they pop loose every once in a while, and they still move, and they're still going down under. That's called convection. And it's still going down and melting. That's the recycling, okay? We actually are recycling the nation of America, because one day, you know, we're not going to live that long, but, you know, a billion years from now, America will be inside the center of the earth, and there'll be a new continent, and then we don't know what it's going to be called, but it's going to be something new. But the world was not designed to go that far, to go that long, okay? But the first sign of this happening is that California is going to fall off into the earth, into the abyss. That's a guaranteed fact. I know that. That's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen. There's no way it can, because the evil places of this world that has fought so hard to get God's name eliminated out of everything is going to be, his hand is going to squash them. And if you happen to be in that area, it's just like when God sent his angels and told them to beware. He said, get out of Dodge, get out of town. He told Lot, he said, get your family and get out of town, because this town is going to go down, it's going to happen. He said, what about if there's 100 righteous? No, I won't destroy it. What about 50? No, I'm going to destroy it. What happened? He did destroy it. What happened? Did he lie? No, he didn't lie to him, because he got the only righteous people they was in the town out, and that was Lot and his family. That was the only righteous ones that they was there. So when they were removed and there was no righteous, so God didn't lie, Jesus didn't lie, and he destroyed it. Not only that city, but the other cities as well. There was Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was three more cities that went down with them. I don't remember the name right now. I don't want to try to dig them off the top of my head, because I don't want to have to speak wrongly, because somebody would be saying, you made a mistake. I'm not saying I'm not infallible. I'm just like everybody else. Hey, I'm not just like everybody else. You know, I'm not perfect. I never have professed to be perfect. What I do is bring what the Lord brings to me to tell you, the people. So there we are right now, ladies and gentlemen, right now. You know, the order that you, that what you and your family, you know, the government is going to do right now. They're going to even tell you what your family can eat, what you can buy to eat. They're going to try to restrict you from buying so much. They're not going to stop you from people selling sugar, because that, you know, that's a big industry, the commerce. You know, they get tax dollars off this, but they're not going to stop it. But what they're going to do is curtail it. They're going to give the skinny people all the sugar they want to eat. You know, it's kind of like these carbon credits that Al Gore's selling. You know, once America uses up her credits, her stamps, it's kind of like food stamps. Once you use them up, you don't have them more. So hey, you got to stop or pay the big fine. So we pay the big fine, or we buy more credits from Al Gore. Who made Al Gore the credit holder? He did. it's a company, but what's it selling? Nothing. It's selling invisible what? Invisible credits. All they do is, okay, you've paid me $1 billion. You got about, here, you got three credits. You can go on three more months. Now, what if that country said, I don't want to pay the billion, and we're going to go on 3 months anyway? Al Gore can't do nothing about it. And no, he can't. But he can go to the president and his government and say, hey, they didn't pay me the million, boss. I mean, the billion. They didn't pay it up, boss. So they're going to come down and go to the UN. They're going to put sanctions on your country. They'll put sanctions on your country. You see how this is working out, ladies and gentlemen? Do you understand what's happening here? Powerful, powerful, powerful. So right now they're going to one day, and then they're trying to do it now, they're going to control what you eat. They're now controlling what they're selling you, like in McDonald's, and they're forcing them to change their menu. They shouldn't be able to do that. They should leave people alone. Let people eat what they want to eat and how much they want to eat. If they become fat and die from it, that's their fault, that's their business, and God's going to handle them. He's going to punish them and do whatever he wants to do to them. Okay, understand that. That's God's business. That's not the government's business. But see, the government wants to go into God's business. That's the big thing. The government wants to be God, wants to be your God, and wants to be God. Remember back in the Bible when the Tower of Babel, when God had to bring that tower down because they were so arrogant, they was building it, and you know as well as I do, they was never going to reach the throne of heaven, the throne of God. You knew that, you know that, and I well know it. The reason he brought it down was it's the principle of the thing. It's their ego, their vanity, that they even had a thought, little bitty thought in their mind that they could even put themselves at the same level as God. But this is what this government's doing right now, ladies and gentlemen, and even worse. They're proclaiming, hey, we're going to show you who God is. We're going to get rid of this so-called Christian God. Now, there's these other gods all around the world, they're not going to mess with them. And why is that? It's because they're not a threat. They're not a threat to their organization. They're not a threat to the evil ones, but the Christians are. The Christians are. Right now, the Obama administration thinks about Christians far worse than the KKK. Did you know that? If you're an evangelist, especially, you're evangelists and southern evangelists, you are on the kill list. You are on the hit list right now on the Obama administration. And if you don't believe me, just hold on. Just hold on, children out there. And he's coming for you. He's coming right after you. And that's why they're getting all the data that they can. And they're going to charge you with things. They're going to lock you away in these FEMA camps. on false charges. But in reality, they won't be false charges, because they're going to design. That's what he's doing now, executive order, and all. He's writing these executive orders where they will become law. So he will have that law to put you in these FEMA prison camps for the rest of your born lives. And you will eat what they tell you to eat then. Oh, yes, sir. And you're not going to get very much. If you get fed once a day, you'll be lucky. Understand that. Okay? And they're going to lock away everybody they can. And these people that they lock away, too, by the way, if you don't, they're going to come back and say, are you tired of this? We'll let you out if you'll convert. If you'll transform, here we go, the transformation will be made if you'll transform to government is your God. Science and government is your God. That's it. You got to leave this Jesus and this God of Israel and all this alone. If not, and you got to take this mark of the beast, you got to swear allegiance to the beast. To the beast is what the government, the commerce, the science is the beast. It's what drives the beast. It's what the beast is using against mankind and humanity right now. This the government, the commerce, and the science is what we should be fighting against, but we're not. You're too scared to. You are scared. Everybody keeps saying, I fear God. No, you don't. You fear government. You fear the commerce of your jobs, your feeding of your family. You're afraid that government is going to stop you from getting your money, your paycheck in the mailbox, your retirement, your whatever. They can stop it. Oh, yes, they can. Yes, they can. If they find out that you're an evangelical Christian or you're a Catholic Christian, and once they pass them laws, they can say, hey, let's stop their retirement check. Let's stop their disability. Let's stop their Social Security checks. They can do that. They can do that? Yes, they can. And the side that stops it is going to blame the other side. Understand what I'm saying here? They're going to blame the other side for doing it. That's the reason they love. That's the reason they're fighting now. This they threaten this government shutdown. Oh, the troops are not going to get paid. Yes, the troops are going to get paid. They always get paid. Nobody's ever seen the troops never get paid. Okay, and the Social Security checks has never stopped coming, and disability checks never has stopped. Those are always going to be money for. I don't understand that. Why do you sit there and let this government and these people scare you into thinking that that's going to stop you out of your mind? Let these people go. Let my people go, said Moses. And some of these people are standing up in Congress, And they're trying to stand there now, and they'll talk. They're filibuster. They're going to filibuster and filibuster. God bless every one of them. God bless them, because they're standing up for what's right. They're standing up against this evil government. They're standing up for religion, for God's word. Said, hey, you cannot take all this stuff. You cannot force them to worship you and make the government the master. The master was in our forefathers' eyes was God. This nation was created under God, indivisible. We've lost that. We've already lost it. We've already lost it. We are now a socialist / communist, and it's on its very fast way to become a Muslim nation. In the next 1 year, we're going to see the greatest conversion, the greatest transformation of the final transformation that Obama can get done in his short time he has left. Understand? And this is when evil will pop its head, right before he has to go out. He's either going to do something or Satan's going to help do it. It's going to be a world chaos, a catastrophe that just like the likes of this world has never seen. He's going to write an executive order, and there will not be no 2016 election. He's going to suspend the election, and he will be forevermore to the day he dies your dictator. Not your president anymore, but your dictator. Once he does that, that executive order goes into place, the military will be on every street corner, on every road. There'll be a curfew. You will not be able to go anywhere without a written order from the government. It's just kind of like a hall pass when you're back in school. Remember, if you didn't have that slip of paper and you was caught in the hall, oh, you were in trouble. That's what's going to be on your streets. If you don't have that job pass, that you're allowed to go between 6 o'clock and be outside driving around, and you better not be at Walmart, because it's going to be written on that pass, and there's going to be a number there, and they're going to check it. Where is he supposed to be at 10:45? Where is he supposed to be at 10:45? It says here he's supposed to be on his way to go pick up his prescription, his heart medication. What's he doing over here? What's he doing over here at the Dairy Queen? Uh-oh. They got you. They put handcuffs on you, they take you right straight to jail. And they're going to punish you, put you in stocks, beat you, whip you, whatever they want to do to you. They could even kill you, put you to death for that. Make no mistake about it, it's coming. It's already on its way. You know it as well as I do. And if you sat there and let it happen, it's your fault. It's nobody's fault. That's the reason I washed my hands with this whole election deal. I washed my hands a long time ago with the whole thing because I've done saw the churches, the people. We, the people, are no longer strong enough to stand up like we did, our forefathers did. We're not going to do that. Well, there's only going to be a few militias out there. That's another thing they're doing. They're targeting these militias. That's the reason. Have you ever asked the question, why did they burn down and kill those people in Waco, Texas? What did they do? The only thing they'd done illegally, actually, really, was, and they couldn't prove all the rest of them. They couldn't prove the rest, but they could prove that they bought automatic weapons. Tobacco firearms, reported alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, said, oh, they was buying a lot of automatic firearms, so therefore they were going to what? Quote, unquote, do what? They were a threat to the national security. They was going to, oh, my God, they was going to go up against the government. So the government went in there, and they didn't care about nothing. They didn't care about how to go about it right. It wasn't done legally. It wasn't done. They sent in tanks, for God's sakes. Tanks against these people, religious people now. Even though people didn't like their religion, and this guy was running around professing himself to be the Messiah, he was Jesus. Well, that's okay. So what? So he did. That doesn't give us the right to kill a man or kill the whole bunch of people just because they're dumb enough to follow this man and believe he's Jesus. Let them go. I mean, what kind of harm are they going to do to you? What are you afraid of? They're going to talk you into going and joining with them? No. Okay. Well, then what's bugging you then? What was bugging the government was that they was buying ammunition, and the only thing that they was doing, I checked into this, they was only buying the guns and ammunition to keep the government from coming in there on their compound and messing with them. They didn't think it was right for the government to tell them what to do, and they were right, even though they were wrong on God's side. They were right on the other, they was right. They was what Jesus say? He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. They were lukewarm. Waco Davidians were lukewarm, and that's why Jesus spit them out of his mouth. The hand of God was taken away from them, and guess what happened to them? You saw what happened to them. The great evil one, Satan, went in there and killed them. And the kid, what did the kids do? What did the kids do? They didn't even try to save. They didn't even try to save the children. And it's not only that compound, it's all the other religious compounds that went on in this country. It should wear you to death where you could not sleep at night, but no, you just lay down, I guarantee you, you'll lay down and have a smile on your face, peaceful, and think everything's okay, everything's just right. Oh, they love their government because they got what? So let's talk about science on this last leg here. Now, then that kind of ties it all in. I think I'm getting kind of close here. Yeah, I've got to do this really quick. Ladies and gentlemen, science, number four, it's last, yes. It was first, it's first in man's list. Science is first, but when God brought it, it's supposed to be the last. Here's what God's recipe was. First of all, number one, God's word, religion, commerce, government, and then science. God did create science. God created it. He gave it to us all. For all of us, not only to the government, but also to the religion as well. But to us all. All of us. Science belongs to all of us because God created it. But as we have it today, it's the two main powers of this world that uses it against us. And what is it? The two main powers is science and government. Science and government are now, is one, has become one, and the two great powers, government and religion, now has become what? Science has to be given to us. It should be. Every time science discovers something, it should be given to us in all honesty. But it's not. It's hidden from us. Knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, is power. Knowledge is power. And they got to hide that. Every time they find something in science that will absolutely prove, I guarantee you they've already proven. I can bring this. They did. They have actually proven that God is real. God exists, and this whole universe, mankind, and the DNA that's inside our bodies and the genomes c- could not have evolved. It could not have just been happenstance. It was created by the hand of a powerful being, which is God of Israel, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But they're not going to do that. They're hidden it. They got it in books. They said, shut up, don't say this again, or we will kill you and your family. They have threatened these people, these scientists. If you come out, we will destroy you. And they've grabbed up all of their findings, and they locked it away behind closed doors. But you see, they know it's true, but knowledge gives them power over you because you don't know nothing about it. You don't know the truth, but they do. They know the truth. When you know the truth, you have total power. This is what Jesus said. He said, when you know the truth, if you come and listen to the words of my words, the gospel, you will have the total truth, all the truth you ever need, and you will be all powerful. He said, you will be all powerful. You'll have all the power that you'll ever need to survive. That's how they got, that's how God fed them in the desert. That's how the children of Israel got fed in the desert, because they had that full power, protection of God's hand upon them. But right now, the land of America, I see right now that the islands, the great islands of Hawaii are going to sink into, that Japan's going to sink, California's going to be gone. I mean, the whole thing in Oregon and in the West Coast, gone. Washington, gone. There's going to be a lot of the Aleutian Islands, gone. They're going to be completely gone. Juneau and all that up there in Alaska, gone. New York City, gone. Florida, absolutely. Florida's going to be 100% gone. Half of Georgia will go along with it. Half of Georgia, past between Macon and Atlanta, Georgia, is going to be gone. Louisiana, New Orleans, gone. Just about all of Mexico, ladies and gentlemen, I have seen in my vision, gone. All of Mexico. Cuba, you ain't got to worry about Cuba. Gone. You ain't got to worry about Cuba. Hey, London, Great Britain, gone. God's trying to reach out right now and tell everybody in those areas, get out. But they don't have nowhere to go. That's the reason I believe that everybody in Mexico is fleeing to this country, is because they know they've done seen the vision as well. They've got to go. They've got to come. They've got to go somewhere because their country is gone. It's because they have failed God's holy test, and they have failed in their transformation. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got a lot out of this, the very world that we live in and on. I hope you can be strong enough to handle the new powers of the government. It's so simple. If you want to be with God, you can be with God. If not, you're against him. If you're for him, you're for him. If you're against him, you're against him. That's all God said. You're either hot or cold, or you're lukewarm, you're dead meat. You're dead meat. So make up your minds. Ladies and gentlemen, this is I'm calling for set my people free. No, I'm not Moses. I'm not claiming to be. But the only thing I'm saying, it is to set you free. I can't do it. I don't think God's going to be, you know, God helped, God assisted, he assisted Moses, but he's not going to assist nobody here in the last transformation. That's what everybody's waiting for. They're waiting for the next Moses to appear. There's not going to be one. God said there's enough of you right now. There should be enough of you, firm believers in faith of the God's word and gospel, that you have the power to resist this evilness of this world. And it's up to you to not become like Waco. It's up to you to make sure we can do this in a peaceful fashion. All we got to do is get the people voted in to return our great nation to the way it once was and get rid of this radical eyes progressivism. There's progressives on both sides. There are progressive Democrats, and there are progressive Republicans. And what did God say? Test them. Put them to the test, and if they don't pass the test, they are progressives. If they are progressives, get them out. Do not allow them in. Do not never allow another progressive into the seats of the Congress. Do not never allow another progressive to be a president or vice president of this country. Because if you do, if Hillary, she's the worst progressive that ever was. If she gets there, that's it, it's over. Or if Obama signs the executive order and he stays in, it's over. The end times is a short couple of years away. The end of this world, bye-bye, it's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Butch Melton, the Sacred Heart Gospel Hour. I hope you return next. I hope I'm going to be back Thursday night with another hour and a half, but just kind of check on my last song on SS and you'll know what's going on. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Butch Melton saying, hey, Stay in the truth. Stay in the gospel. Read God's word. Stay with Jesus. Do not let them drive the word and the power of Jesus and his testimony, his truth out of your heart and your lives. Keep it. Just keep a hold of it more now than you ever have. And pray and pray, my children. Pray. Pray and I'll watch him. He'll come. He'll come. He'll send the Holy Spirit to you and you will see dreams and have visions. And he'll bring it all to you. Because if you have a personal relationship, in this end of days, he's going to show you what's going to happen, just as he did to me. Until we meet again. Bye-bye.